Like to welcome everyone and say good morning, folks online, the folks that are with us here today. Start off by saying it is an honor to be here. I appreciate it very much. We had a great time in Twin Falls yesterday with the whole crew there, and very appreciative of that also. How many of you come here today to receive of the Lord? You believe, you receive, God works. Amen. I guess I could introduce myself. Dave did a little bit. My name is Brian Heron. I'm the pastor in Visalia, California. I'm not going to use the board a whole lot today because I've found out that when you use the board, and I'm watching all around the room, it's really hard to listen to me. And we want to look and watch and see what's going on up there, which is totally normal, but I have figured this out over the years. So a lot of stuff that maybe in the past where I would write on the board, you're going to have to use your imagination for, which is not such a bad thing anyways. And we're going to talk about foundational principles today, which are, yeah, perfect, thank you. Very important. I've been traveling with Rick. He's been at my house for, well, every year he stays for 3 to 6 weeks, him and his wife Ann. And this trip, Rick's been talking about creating, creativity. God is a creator, and if you are a son of God or an offspring of God, then you have the ability. We're made in his image, after his likeness. You have the ability to create also. Sometimes we don't realize that, but words are powerful. We agree with that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, and we see creation by God's words. We don't always realize how powerful our words are and what they will create. We can create the kingdom of God within us, and we can create a world of iniquity. So it's very important to understand the origin of your words, and we need our words to come from Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is the word of God, he's the only begotten of the Father, and when we speak truth, we begin to create. And I'd like to talk to you about these foundational principles here today, lay some foundation. And there is no, we're going to see, there is no other foundation that we can build upon besides the foundation of Jesus Christ. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. I'm just going to read a couple verses there, verse 10 and 11. John, how important is it to have a good foundation? I say that because he's a concrete man. He lays that foundation. Right? Got to have a good foundation. So 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter in the 10th verse. The Apostle Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We have to have the foundation of Jesus Christ. And even in Jesus' teachings, in the parables, he gives us truths in these parables about our foundation. How many of you ever read the parable of the wise man that built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand? Well, without going into the depths of that, I'll say it this way, because I'm going to really promote simplicity today. The things I'm going to read are deep, and they're great, and we could really get caught up in trying to figure a lot of this out, but is it 2 Corinthians 11 that Paul speaks about the simplicity that's in Christ? He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so should your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. So God is vast. God is great. And the ways of God are past finding out. But what we want to focus in on here today is simplicity, is a foundation, and give God the opportunity to build thereon. And when Rick's talking about creating, I'll let the cat out of the bag. I don't know if you're speaking here tonight or not, Rick, but we create through prophecy. The Word of God creates. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. So a master builder knows how to not only lay a foundation, but then to build up from there. And you can look at that in many ways. Paul said, I plant, Apollos waters, but God giveth the increase. So you got a sower, you have a waterer, but the most important part of the whole thing is understanding that it's only God that can bring forth this increase. So in simplicity, there is no other foundation that we can build thereupon besides the truth of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read to you some principal doctrines of Christ, and not just principal foundational doctrines, but the very foundation for the doctrine of Jesus Christ. In 1 John, the book of 1 John, it speaks about the doctrine of Christ. And if any man doesn't have the doctrine of Christ, he doesn't have the Father or the Son. But in return, if you do have the doctrine of Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. And so when you're talking about doctrine, you're talking about teachings. You're talking about instruction. The Bible speaks about different kinds of doctrines. Jesus was continually warning his disciples about whose doctrine? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He spoke about their doctrine being hypocrisy. You know how many people as a pastor I talk to that will tell me the reason I don't go to church is because the hypocrisy that's in Christianity today? They can see that, and they don't want any part of it. Jesus was adamant about warning his disciples, the 12, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of their doctrine. So you've got the doctrine of the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Sadducees. Paul warned us about doctrines of devils. What did he say, Pastor? That in the latter days, some shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So you can have a lot of different doctrines, a lot of different teachings that are out there, but there's only one foundational doctrine in God, and that's built upon Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Now, in Hebrews 6, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, as we read here, you're going to see there's 12 foundations, kind of like in New Jerusalem. There's 12 apostles. There's 12 tribes of Israel. When you're looking at the number 12, you're talking about governments and foundation. So here in Hebrews 6, as I read through it, the scripture said, let us go on into perfection. As I label these out, you're going to see that the first two principal or foundational doctrines of Jesus Christ is, let me write on the board here, from and to. From and to, what are you talking about? What do you mean? I'll explain that to you. But the everything that works in the foundational principal doctrine of Christ is from and to. What I mean by that is, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Now, when I read these to you, and I'm not going to write them on the board because I don't want to distract you that way. I think it's more important that you're listening, hearing, rather than looking at the board and trying to figure these things out. But I will say this. Number one, repentance from dead works. Number two, faith toward God. We were taught years ago that in all of these principal doctrines, they were all foundational principal doctrines. But I'm here today to show you that the first two are the foundation and the other 10 are principal doctrines of Christ. But you will never go into the other principal doctrines of Christ without the from and the to. I'll explain that to you as I teach, okay? So also, he said, let us go on to perfection. Perfection is number 7. So you got 1, 2, I'm going to reveal 7 to you. I'll read all 12 to you, but just keep that in your mind. And let me think here. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, this is verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So remember, we had a great conversation in Twin Falls with everybody there, specifically questions from Neba and Janice about the Word of God, about Adam, huh, Dave? And about Christ, how those things work. So when you're looking at Adam, is he the first man? Does the Bible say he's the Son of God? Could Adam possibly represent or be a representation of the Word of God in you? So when we're talking about the man of God, that he's perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works, we're talking about the Word of God that's in each and every one of us. And it may start off in a young man or a child, maybe the similitude of Adam, but what is God's intent to bring it to? You ever read Ephesians, the fourth chapter? When it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, it tells us those gifts were given, and I'm just going to paraphrase this. You can look it up in your own time. It's Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It said, therefore, the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, what does it say? For the unity of the faith. Until we all come to what? A perfect man. To the stature of the fullness of a man in Christ Jesus. So the ministry and the gifts of the Spirit are there to perfect that Word of God to you. It may not start perfect. It starts right here with the from and the to. The from is a repentance. You've got to be able to go from dead works to faith toward God. Hebrews 9 and 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So when we talk about repentance, what is repentance? What does it mean to repent? We could teach a whole lesson on this today, but it's to turn. In the old days in the military, they'd be going one way, and the colonel or the officer would yell out, repent, and the soldier would turn. So when you look at scripturally, and even with the scripture I quoted, where does dead works work at? That he might purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It works in the thought realm. It works in our consciousness or the way we think. So in repentance, and you know, when I first got into church, they would have altar calls. I'd be there every week to repent. Because the things they were telling me to do, I did everything I could to turn away from. If you're drinking, if you're smoking, if you're cussing, or these things, they told me I had to stop those things. Well, I had a heart after God. So I did everything they told me to do. Even to the point of cutting my hair and doing whatever I thought I needed to do. Later to find out that a lot of those things they were enforcing on me and telling me I had to do were actually dead works. It wasn't God saying that to me. It was a doctrine of man that was being put on me. See, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. It's what comes out of his mouth. It's what comes out of his heart. What's the first thing that proceedeth out of the heart that Jesus said? Remember the Pharisees were offended at his disciples for going through the eating corn on the Sabbath day, breaking the tradition of their fathers. And Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's but what comes out of his mouth. For out of the heart, this is the first thing he says, evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. You can go read everything he said. But when we're talking about the work of God and the will of God, the work is done in the conscience. The work is done in the heart. It's an inner man. The Bible talks about the old man and the new man. The old man is corrupt according to his deceitful lust, according to the former conversation. Who is the new man? I believe this is I believe this is Ephesians, the fourth chapter or the second chapter, Pastor, where it says, be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? So in between be renewed in the spirit of your mind, it talks about the old man, and it talks about the new man. I already paraphrased what the old man is. He's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So this is important because in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, who does Paul use for examples to show the resurrection? Adam. But he speaks about a first Adam and a second Adam, or a first Adam and a last Adam. The first Adam, the Bible says, the word of God is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. So when we're talking about the resurrection and the work of God, it's the seed that's the word of God that's being sown into us that God is going to bring forth, that works in our very consciousness, that works in our very thought realm, that works in our very heart. And there's many parables of this too, isn't there? How about Matthew 13 with the wheat and the tares? You got children of the wicked one, which were sown by the devil, and you got children of the kingdom, which were sown by who? To say the Son of Man? So Jesus sows and the devil sows. Where are all these things taking place at? Inside, within us. So what I'm doing is adamantly exhorting you to take the word of God and the work of God and put it inward. See the work of God in the new man, in the hidden man of the heart, as Peter speaks about. Now back to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now do me a favor. I'm not going to write it on the board, like I said, because I don't want to distract you. But just listen to me and hear these 12 principal doctrines, and then we're going to come back and show you how the first two, the from and the to, work all of them. And also I'm going to promote and say you must have this foundation in order to build upon and work in the other doctrines of Christ. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I have to interject something real quick. When we're talking about repentance, you have to go from and to. In other words, if you look in the Gospels, John the Baptist comes on the scene before Jesus, doesn't he? He's his cousin. Were they 6 months apart? About that? What's John the Baptist's message? There's another one coming mightier than I? Yes. But he said, I've been sent to baptize you in water. So repentance, what do they tell it that John preaches? Because Jesus preached the same thing. When Jesus sent his disciples, they preached the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John preached water baptism unto repentance for the remission of sin. He was the one that prepared the way of the Lord. So what's the message to prepare the way of the Lord? Repentance. Water baptism for the remission of sin. Jesus gets on the scene and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we've already said that to repent is to turn away. And we could do that. You can call me. Your pastor's probably taught it 100 times. And it'll teach 100 more because we love to do this. But if you have any questions on repentance, you're welcome to get a hold of any one of us. Is that correct, Pastor? But if it's important, you call me anytime. I don't care whatsoever. Where was I? Oh. So my first understanding of repentance was when the person behind the pulpit said there was something I either was supposed to be doing or not supposed to be doing. I needed to listen to what they said and stop doing what they told me I was not supposed to do, right? I'm here to teach you today that repentance is twofold. If you're just turning away from something, you're going this way, and you turn away, but you don't have something to go to, hello, repentance is only half done. So there's no true repentance. I'm going this way, but it's from and to. I'm going this way in dead works. He said, turn from that and walk in faith toward God. Repentance is only complete when you're walking in faith toward God. See, the just, how do they walk? By faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. Now, what is faith? Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do we get faith, sister? From God. So then, this is Romans 10. So then, faith, verse 17, I believe. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, brother, if you hear the word of God being spoken, I don't care if it's in your consciousness. I don't care if you hear it here today with me. If you go into a dream tonight, a trance, a vision, or if you are looking at the scriptures and God begins to talk to you about his word and about the truth, God is giving you faith. As he's called you to repent from dead works, he's given you something to go toward. The from and the to. It's simple. But watch when I read these things, your mind is going to go, laying on of hands? Eternal judgment? Resurrection of the dead? Oh my goodness, what are all of those things? Trust God for that. Do not try to figure these things out that I'm going to read to you right now. Stay in the simplicity of the foundation which is from and to. Are you with me? Are we in agreement? Will you make a covenant with one another today that we're not going to try to exalt our thoughts above the thoughts of God and go to a place where he's not leading us in? And we stay in this foundation and let your pastor build thereon the foundation that no other man can lay, which is Jesus Christ. Does that sound good, Pastor? Okay, so let's read this together. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That's one and two. Of the doctrine of baptisms, and notice that's plural, baptisms. And of laying on of hands, that's three and four. Of resurrection of dead, and of eternal judgment, that's five and six. What was seven? Let us go on into perfection. This is where perfection comes in. He goes on to say in verse three, you notice the break here, and this will we do, if God permit, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. What number we got here? Eight and nine. And they are those were who once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. What is that, ten? So you know why it's tricky? Because the word perfection's in the beginning there. You don't see it in seven. But you know who revealed this to me that is? God did. So I'm going to go ahead and show it the way God showed it to me, if that's okay. In the 12 foundations. I read 4, correct? Verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That would be 11 and 12, wouldn't it? Those things are mind-blowing. What do I know about tasting of the powers of the world to come? What do I know, Dave, about laying on of hands and eternal judgment and resurrection of the dead? Well, you know what you just read, but what do we understand? Anything and everything God gives to you about this. We got to stay with the leading of the Spirit. Don't get ahead. Don't fall behind. They that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So once we have a solid foundation, which no other man can build thereupon, which is Jesus Christ, it is God that performs the work. It is God that builds. We are his building. We are his husbandry. He is building in each and every one of us. Jody, you talked about this morning, an eternal habitation. Somewhere for God to abide for eternity. This is eternal life. I think it's John 17 and 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Life eternal is to know the true God and Jesus Christ that he has sent. That's simple, isn't it? So let's not complicate things by trying to figure things out ourselves, working in a knowledge, but let's let the grace of God work in our life. Let's say, for we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So let's accept this gift from God here today. Let's accept the grace of God. Watch him lay a foundation. Watch him build thereupon. And watch him give you all of the promises that we read about in the scripture. And I'll say it this way, through prophecy. Now, there's one more thing that's very important to read here. Verse 6. So we read those 12 things, and he said, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. We're going to be tempted to try to understand what that means. In simplicity, what did he say? With those 12 foundational doctrines, he said, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. So what I'm focusing is on the falling away. Has anybody here ever fallen? Do we see, brother, the fall of Adam in Genesis, the first three chapters? We do, don't we? But do we also see a renewing in Jesus Christ? It took 4,000 years. But a day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. 4 days, you okay? Can we understand that we fell in Adam, Pastor? But it's still the Word of God. And that God is helping us to be renewed and laying these foundations for us. Go with me to, I've quoted it already, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There we go. So when we were reading those 12 principal doctrines of Christ, hopefully everybody was following me and they saw in the beginning that there were only two foundational. You can go back and look at it again. I pray that the Holy Ghost bears witness with you and leads you in that. But the two principal foundations of the doctrine of Christ are what? Repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Interesting, I don't know about you, but when I first got in church, I just got to tell you too, I won't tell a whole lot of my past or my history. I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't told anything about Jesus outside of that. My mom gave me the little red Bibles. We called them switchblades. She gave me that when I was young, and I put it on my headboard, kind of like a rabbit's foot. You know, it was good luck. And I reverenced it, but I never read it, Dave. And this, when I say this to you, this is a shame, honestly. I wish I was raised like some of you in the church. I knew about Jesus earlier, but I didn't. But when God got a hold of me, oh my goodness, did he begin to change me. And you know what the first thing I noticed about serving God? I didn't think the same anymore. I had a thing called peace that I had never had in my life before. But brother, I sure looked for it. I looked for it in, you name it, drugs, alcohol, money, girls, all the lustful things that we can experience. But when I really met Jesus Christ for the first time, and he came into my heart and my life and brought peace to me, oh my God, you want to talk about a miracle? Nobody could do it for me. Nobody could help me. Nobody could change me, brother, not any of them. And Jesus Christ did. You know what that did to me? That made me the most thankful man that you have ever seen in your entire life. I was so thankful, I was willing to do anything and everything they said. I went to the pastor's house shortly after this happened to me. What can I do? What can I do for you? Can I cut your yard? Can I wash your car? What can I do? I'm trying to do a work, Dave. And so when they would tell me behind the pulpit to do certain things, oh my goodness, I'm there. I'm all over it. Whatever you want me to do. The first year we were in church, because of my background, I began to teach a 12-step program. And there were people that come into the church. We did it out back, behind the church, in the evenings. There were so many people out of the church. Rick, we were baptizing 10 times as many people as they were from the main church. My point is, in my intent towards God, I was doing everything I could to work the works of God to the best of my ability. Not all of them were true. Not all of them was what God was requiring of me. But I had to learn that. You know what God saw when I was doing all of these things? I'll never forget. I'm like, okay, wash the car, cut the yard, do the 12-step program. Well, what else? What can I do? I went to my mom, Pastor Dave, and she said, well, there's this thing in the Bible called tithes and offerings. Yeah, what is that? She explained it to me. I said, okay, next week, done deal. What's next? It was just that easy for me because God had performed such a miracle in my life. Something as simple as supporting the church monetarily, it meant a lot because I could do it for God, but it didn't mean a lot in a conflict of my mind. It was just like, okay, done deal. What's next? So as we went on and I began to live for God, God began to show me what I'm showing you here today. That there are some things that are just simply dead works that we got to repent from and turn to a faith towards God. In other words, a word that God has given us, Pastor, walk in that word. As a matter of fact, I asked you to go to 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to change that because that will start a whole new Bible study, to be honest with you. And so we're going to have you go to 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'll give you an example of these doctrines and how the foundational works. We'll do it with baptism. Would that be okay? Because the third principal doctrine was doctrine of baptism, plural. Try to do that before I'm done here today. 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 4. I know I've been talking to you about a lot of things here today, and when Rick's teaching about creating and prophecy and these things, we're really showing you how to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Is that true, Rick? When you're first born here, you don't really walk in the nature of God, do we? There's the nature of man. Now, interesting enough, back referencing the resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, Pastor Dave, how does God describe Adam? There's many ways right there. But does he say that which is first is natural, and that which cometh afterwards is spiritual? So our first experience in God is from Adam. It's the nature of man. We are walking as the natural man, the first Adam. But you know what's so awesome about God and his grace? He doesn't leave us that way, Ellen. When he starts a work, he visits that work and visits that work and visits that work until it's finished. I believe it's Philippians 1 and 8, being confident of this very thing. How many of you are confident people in this room here today? Isn't it nice to meet somebody that's confident? You know, if you're full of pride, they'll be a threat to you. If you're humble, it'll be a compliment because you can discern the difference between confidence and arrogance. But Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I want you to be confident here today. I'm looking to impute that unto you by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, because Brian Heron can't do anything here today. But if I can speak to you the words of God, they can create and do everything. Fair enough? As a man, nothing. With the Word of God, all things are possible. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when the word of God first starts out in Adam, it's sown in corruption. When it first starts out in us, it's in corruption. That's the old man. He's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. But what's the new man? He's created, if this is the chapter you referenced, Pastor Dave, he's created in righteousness and true holiness. So being a partaker of God's divine nature starts off with the nature of Adam, or natural. But it doesn't stay there. You go from corruption to incorruption. And these two, I should write this up there. The from is a repentance. What's the two? Faith, isn't it? Word of God. Repent from dead works, walk in the word of God. Repent from, where did dead works come from? Is to be carnally minded death? Romans 8, 5, 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So where would dead works come from, Barth? The origin of dead works is from the carnal mind. Yeah, the heart, the carnal mind. That's what we're repenting from. But what about the spiritual mind? When you have faith and you begin to walk in faith, do you begin to be a partaker of his divine nature? You know how he does that? By prophecy. Have you ever looked at prophecy as a promise? Yeah. If God prophesies something to you, Pastor Rick, is he giving you a precious promise? Is he giving you something to come to? Because you can have prophecy, but you also have the fulfillment of prophecy. And I'm not going to get into prophecy because it's a subject that's a very vast subject, and people have great different understandings of prophecy. Some people look at prophecy as what Nostradamus does, or did, I should say. He's dead. It's not really prophecy. Prophecy, according to the book of Revelation, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. The spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ. I hope I don't step on anybody's toes here. The whole Bible's prophecy. What do you mean? The testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. Psalms 40 and 6 says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me." Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The spirit of prophecy has inspired all of this, correct? Rick? The spirit of prophecy creates. I'll leave the rest of prophecy up to Pastor Rick. I'm going to read 4 again. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, notice this. If you go back to verse 1, this is who this is to. Peter is speaking very specifically to individuals that have been partakers of like precious faith as he has. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." This is who he's talking about that has these exceeding great and precious promises that have escaped the world through corruption and that are beginning to partake of God's divine nature. Is there anybody in this room that would not want to partake of God's divine nature? We all do. That's why we're here. As a matter of fact, you probably already have. But do we want more? Because what I'm going to show you also is once you have repented and you begin to walk in faith, there's a continual adding to. If you add to your faith continually, you will not be presented with an opportunity to fall. Isn't that awesome? How many of you have started something in God and then you felt yourself go backwards? And I'm not talking about repenting. I'm talking about hearing something, God blessing you, giving you something, and you maybe forget it. Maybe you drop it. Well, you know, one of the works of the apostle was to bring to your remembrance by stirring up your pure minds and bringing the things to remembrance that you've already heard, that God's already spoken. Now, remember in Hebrews 6 when I read all those things, how we could get caught up in, wow, what does that mean? What does this mean? What does that mean? I'm going to do this again right now as I finish, and I'm going to ask you not to do that. The simplicity that I want you to hear here today is this starts with faith. And what works the whole thing so you'll never fall again is when you add to your faith. You ready? Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Wait a minute. What's the first thing? Faith. Is this a foundation? And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Faith worketh by love. To brotherly kindness charity. Now look at verse 8. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Do you know when Jesus went and healed the blind eyes, he went to somebody that had forgotten that they were purged from their old sins? And that they were following afar off. So what do you mean he didn't heal physical eyes? I'm not going to limit God and say God can't heal everything. But I will say to you, if God's working a work in the heart and he's working in the spirit, and if you're following afar off and have forgotten you've been purged from your old sins, and he comes and reminds you, he heals your blindness. I am saying that here today. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. We already fell once, huh, brother? A good man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. It's not a shame to fall. It's in the plan of God, in the will of God. You say, what do you mean? Do you not think God knew Adam was going to go to the tree? He knew, didn't he? But he prepared a helpmeet. He prepared a way back. That's awesome. That's the mercy of God. See, we went out from God, and I'll just say it, well, I can talk to you in your own time. Because you were young, a serpent deceived you, us, deceived and seduced the weakest part of our soul. But he made a plan to get it back. He prepared a helpmeet. And he made a way of escape. That's Jesus Christ. That's what I've been talking to you about all morning here today. This faith toward God. He said, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now watch, you're going to be tempted. These things. What is virtue? What is knowledge? What is he talking about, Pastor Dave? What is temperance? What is patience? No, don't do that. When God brings that to you and he visits you with that, you'll have it. You'll understand that. Wait on the Lord. What I do want to say to you today, he said, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Do what? The simplicity of have faith and add to. Add to your faith. And he labeled them out. Add to your faith daily. Now here's a big question. I'll be done with this. How do you add to your faith? That is 100% correct. And you know what's awesome? God does it. If you will let God add to your faith, he will do it continually. Am I right, pastors? If you try to do it yourself, what is going to be the word to you? Repent. Religion. Repent from thinking you can bring forth your own righteousness with the scriptures. This is where people go to churches and see the hypocrisy that's there. Because people think they make themselves righteous by their interpretation of the scripture. So as I finish up here today, I'm encouraging you to see the foundational doctrines of Christ. And you know what's also neat about the doctrine of Christ? What was Jesus' doctrine? What is Jesus' doctrine? He said, well, you read it to us forever in Hebrews 6. Yeah, but in simplicity, the scripture says that Jesus spake many things unto them in parables and said in his doctrine. Are the parables of Jesus' teachings, his instructions, his doctrine? Can you receive them? The parable, Pastor, how many times have you taught on the parable of the sower that went forth to sow? How many times have you taught on the wheat and the tares? You guys all looked at those parables? Perfect foundation. But what about, as I introduced to you today, what about the parable of the beginning with Adam and Eve in the fall? Have you perceived that as the doctrine of Christ and as a parable and a mystery that God must reveal unto you? Do you know when Jesus taught this way? His disciples came to him. I'll wrap it up here. Matthew 13. Lord, why speakest thou in parables? What did Jesus say? Because unto you it's given to know the mysteries of God. But to them that are without, to those accusers, to the religious that hated him and cried out for his blood, crucify, 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 to them it's not given. What does that mean? There may be thoughts in you that try to attain unto the righteousness of God and try to attain unto the things that are only made for the disciple. Discern it, understand it, leave it alone. It's an unbeliever. Walk by faith. In a parable, in a type and shadow of the Old Testament, what was the baptism? Did they use water to sprinkle? Yeah. Did they, I know what you're thinking about the baptisms of an infant, huh? In religion today, maybe in... You sound like the Apostle Paul, though. He counted all things done. Crap. He counted all things done that he might win Christ, didn't he? He said, forgetting those things, this is the same chapter, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, from and to. He said, I press towards the mark, towards the prize, towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am with you. The stuff I heard in the beginning, it was done, but God was so faithful. And what he started, he's continuing me in. He's continuing us in. I hear the progression of our elders every single time I talk to them. The deacons, the people in the church. God is faithful. And he's working amazing work. Let's do the tabernacle real quick. You had a veil. The sacrifice was slain right there. A lamb, right? A male. Firstling of the flock without spot or blemish. Type and shadow, right? What was the first piece of furniture that they came to after they had blood on that they needed to? The brazen laver. Was it full of water? Did they wash? Is the washing a washing of water by the word in the New Testament? When you're washing, what's washing you? The word of God. So if you went by the law and was going to be washed, you look at it as water. And please don't get me wrong here. I live in California, have a swimming pool. If I numbered everybody that has been baptized in that swimming pool, you couldn't get another person in that pool. That's where we baptize people. But I'm just saying that's a great show or sign of a work that's taking place inward. The physical water does not clean your soul. The physical water does not fix your thoughts. But what does? Are we the Word of God that puts us in? Aren't we baptized into Jesus Christ? So the way I used to look at baptism, even in the type and shadow of the law, what was the type and shadow of the law for? To bring the, it was a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. So it showed baptisms pointing you to, Rick, the spiritual work of being baptized into him. We're buried with him in baptism, wherein we are risen in newness of life. That's what puts you in the body, huh, Rick? Isn't that awesome? So you're buried with him in baptism. What happens to those dead works? They're buried. When you come up out of the water or the word of God in a resurrection or a quickening, which Pastor Rick just said, is it a newness of life? Do you think differently? Because you're in Christ. You think like Christ now. And you fulfill the scripture. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's amazing. I'll leave you with that.